What was her occupation before or during kids? She was a public school music teacher before kids. And then after kids, she was a private piano teacher. Do you still do that anymore?
No.
No. No more piano lessons.
Well, okay. I play, but I don't.
No more lessons.
No time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. children and ages. She has Katie, who's 31. John, who's 29 and married to Caitlin. Stephen, who's 28 and married to Lauren, who's here with us. And she also is a new Nana because of Annabelle Grace, who is also here. So we might hear more out of Annabelle this morning because Nana's up here. I don't know. We'll see. when are you most tired during the day and what do you do about it? She says, when I get home from work. And what she does about it, she takes a deep breath and she switches her focus to home life. And how often do we tell our kids, take a deep breath? And we need to do that too. So that's good. And then we asked her, do you have any sleep-deprived funny mom moments to share with us? She said, I think I've shared this before. I remember this. But with three toddlers, getting the kids to bed was one problem. But keeping them in bed was a completely different problem. She remembers one night, after 9 different kid interruptions, she had visions of her life being a game of whack-a-mole. We'd obviously spent too much time at Chuck E. Cheese. But I've said that multiple times recently, and I forgot where that came from. So that's where it was. What is something interesting about yourself that most people don't know? And she said, yikes, there's probably a lot that people don't know. But I'm not sure if it's interesting. Maybe the fact that I was an admissions counselor for a year after college and traveled Oklahoma and Texas for my university, Oklahoma Baptist University. God reminds me of those days each time I have a table in the atrium on Sunday mornings.
It's just an admissions counselor.
So thank you so much, Karen. I would love to pray for you before you speak. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would use Karen this morning to bring truth to our hearts. Lord, we're so thankful that you, even in the Bible, you provide the vision that of Titus 2 of having women that have gone before and that have experience and that have wisdom. They've gained wisdom over the years, and how good it is for us to all mentor one another and to help each other along in this life and to help us live out our calling to love you and love our kids and to disciple them to know you, Lord. And so I just thank you and praise you for the perspective that she will bring this morning, Lord. Will you, bring your truth through her and help us to remember, Lord, that this message is not from Karen ultimately. It's from you, Lord. And may we be encouraged by what you have to share with our hearts this morning. I pray that you would give her peace and clarity as she speaks. And we just thank you for the gift that she is to us. Amen.
Wow, it is a joy to be with you all this morning. Every time I come in here, I just kind of get fascinated. I've told you before, it's sort of like when you sit in front of an aquarium and you watch all the movement and the kids, and you're just kind of, I find myself thinking, I need to say something, I need to do something, because I'm just dumbfounded by all the energy and things that are going on. You know, and it makes me think about what it was like whenever I was your age. And just like Rebecca said, I had been a public school music teacher. Then I transitioned to a stay-at-home piano teaching mom and had 3 kids in 3 years. So it was just like, wow, you know, it all happened very quickly. And just the memories, though, of cleaning up all of those little drops of spilled milk that gets on the chair legs and the Cheerios and the diapers and the trying to put those little arms through sleeves that were never quite, you know, just right, and you're pushing those little hands through as best you can. Probably the biggest thing, like the whack-a-mole story, was just sleep, that sleep deprivation, to get the 6 to 7 hours that you're really craving. And then I look here at your mentor moms, and a lot of them are experiencing the same thing, because what goes around kind of comes around. Those hormones hit you later on, and you still have trouble sometimes getting that precious amount of sleep. I could spend my time talking to you this morning about how you're going to blink, and this time in your life is going to be gone, but I'm not going to talk to you about that. And I could talk to you about you know, cherishing and savoring each moment, taking lots of pictures of this precious years, but I'm not going to talk to you about that either. Instead, I'm going to talk to you about, let's get past this, geometry. Now, if you knew how bad I am at math, you would kind of cock your head and say, what in the world is she doing talking about this? But I want to talk to you, is the path that an object with mass in motion follows through space as a function of time. So think about a flight path. The engineers have to know how to get the plane up in the air at a certain speed, at a certain trajectory, so that when it comes back down at the right speed, it lands at the right place, okay? Whenever you fly from Indianapolis, say, to Seoul, Korea, your trajectory doesn't take you around the world. The best way is to go over the North Pole. So sometimes your trajectory takes you in different paths or different things of what makes sense to you. Well, you are an object, a mass in motion. You're living. Your life is a path. That space around you are the different choices that you're going to make, your actions, your attitudes. The question is, where is your trajectory taking you? Where are you going to end up? What do you want your life to look like 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now? When you're the mentor mom at the table, okay, when your little baby is all grown up and coming home for the holidays, what is that life going to look like? And I know you're sitting here just thinking, I can't even imagine. Well, take some time this moment to put yourself into those shoes. What kind of grandma do you want to be? Doesn't that just kind of make it, what? Well, believe it or not, the days that you're living right now are setting the trajectory for what those days will look like. Now, you may not have thought about it at all like that, but I guarantee you thought things like, oh, well, my child will never do that. Or when we get to high school, this is what's going to happen. Or the next house I want is going to have da, 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 da. Right? You have thought about things in the future. We all have dreams that we want for our family to be like, how we aspire for that next job promotion, or we plan for new homes, we're planning for vacations. And as you bring those dreams under God's direction and His hand for your life, those are all good things. But instead, I want to talk to you about the trajectory of you. What makes you you? Your heart, that inner seat of your mind and will and emotions. Puzzling over what did I think made them so beautiful? Now, I knew that they were older ladies because most of them had reading glasses. All right, that's how you know whenever you've crossed that bridge. But anyway. But they weren't the same type of older ladies that I was used to in my family or in my small home church setting. And I really hadn't watched these ladies too much, because to my young adult ears, they were mostly interested in gossip, recipes, and each other's aches and pains. In my youthful short-sightedness, I really had not regarded the women in my life much at all. But now, for the first time, I was noticing older women. And what I saw here with these ladies were that they were strong, they were wise, they were warm, some of them were witty, they were energetic, and they were engaging. They reminded me of Psalm 92, 12 through 15. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And I remember sitting there in that conference room and determining and purposing in my heart that I wanted to be like them. I wasn't sure how to get there, but I knew that it had to do with my walk and my relationship with Jesus Christ. I wanted to be a woman whose relationship with the Lord was foremost, so that my purpose was to be a God-honoring woman that would be the woman that I was created then to be. For His Spirit to flow from my heart, and it would bring color to my attitude and my actions, my countenance. I wanted my relationship with the Lord to grow as I aged and for it to be visible to others. So when I heard your theme this year, live on purpose, I was reminded of that defining moment in my young woman years. And it really made me sit back and think how well I was doing in that. It also brought to mind a book that I was reading at the time. It was Pursue the Intentional Life. It's by Jean Fleming. Whereas Karen and I have read through this together. This book is written by a beautiful woman who has spent her life working for Navigators Ministries. The book is made up of short chapters that she took from what she called her old woman file. You see, when she was your age, she began thinking about this whole trajectory thing too. And she began clipping articles and journaling thoughts that would help her keep on course. And her reasoning came from this. Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And she writes, God is not asking me to number my days, to increase my pace, but rather to examine my route, my trajectory. Not to increase my efficiency, but to see where I must make course corrections in the heart, character, and actions. To number our days. To see where your trajectory is taking you. So if you don't want to be that shrill, bossy, nagging mom of the high schooler that you've all seen at Walmart, then we must set that course now. Fleming says that as we age, we aren't becoming new, but the older you are is a distillation of what you are right now. Think of that. A distillation of what you are now as you age. You know, I've heard it said that men age like wine and women age like milk. Think about that. Okay, that is not what we want. You know, in cooking, there's something called a reduction. And you can take balsamic vinegar and cook it long and slow for many hours, and it will boil down. That water, that fluid that's in it will dissipate, and you'll get just that goodness. Without that, the twang, there's something that ends up being sweet and yummy about this sauce that you've come up with, right? That's a reduction. That's distilling even the balsamic vinegar. That's the idea of as we age, who we are as a young woman, it just distills. She writes, have you noticed that the flaws and weaknesses concentrate with age? A complainer at 30 or 40 will, with much practice, engrave the response in his or her bones by 70. Self-centeredness will intensify. Bitterness, allowed to take root and grow over decades, engulfs and consumes in advanced age. You've all seen this, haven't you? Anyone living a frittering existence at 30 will, apart from a serious course correction, end up frittering away an entire life. It is just as true that a person doesn't suddenly become a wise, kind, gracious, fruitful old person just by reaching, say, 70 years old. You don't get that way just by getting old. Of course, it's not too late to grow and change, and we can all take comfort in that. But more important, it's never too soon to begin. You are at the beginning of your trajectory. Your patterns of thought and practice will either serve the glory and purpose of God or will hinder them. Another way to say live on purpose is to live intentionally. Live intentionally. Know what you're doing. And I'm just going to talk about three quick habits that can help you set your trajectory and to live intentionally. Those words are reflect, guard, and invest. First of all, reflect. Take time to think, to evaluate. You don't have to live or you don't live purposely by living a life of mindless doing and not spending some time in thought. Jonathan Edwards was a scholar, a theologian, a university president, and a missionary, and he had 70 resolutions that he read weekly and reflected upon them. Some say that if he had had a good editor, he might have had 30. But here are a couple of them. Resolution 7, resolved, never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. You knew you were going to see Jesus within the next hour. Would you do it? Did you do that thing? Resolution 14, resolved, never to do anything out of revenge. That's a good one. I want you to think about resolution 52. 52, resolved, that I will live just so as I can think I shall wish I had done, supposing I live to an old age. In other words, when I get old, I don't want to look back at what I'm doing now and wish I had done it differently. I'm going to purpose today that what I'm doing, I will appreciate. I will be grateful that I had done when I am older. Now, I'm not sure how Edwards had found any time at all to not only read, but reflect on 70 resolutions every week. But the idea is we just can't let life happen to us. We must take time to think about it, to reflect about it, to meditate, to talk to God about what you're thinking. I think that's what Moses had in mind in that psalm when he said to number our days. Think about them. Reflect. Do you have a time when you do that? And I know you all are going to go, are you kidding me? But I get it. I can remember standing at the kitchen sink and realizing that the reason why I was feeling so incredibly stressed and wanted to pull my hair out was I was conducting three separate conversations at the same time and answering three little people. One of them was in the other room, one of them was near me, and the other one was, Mom, 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 like this. And the thing is, I was able to do that. And I was being pretty clear-headed about it and do whatever task I was doing at the sink. It is hard for us to find time. We have so many things going on in our lives. But you need to find some time to order your thoughts. I'm not talking about me time, where you're kind of just like spoiling yourself. But I'm saying this is a time when you, in the presence of God, are having a dialogue. It can happen while you're nursing. It can happen while you're ironing. It can happen anytime that you're doing something pretty mindless. Be careful about driving, okay? But it can happen. I'll tell you, my secret is, and this is kind of, I know, weird, but I take a bath every night. And I take a bath, I'm warm finally, I'm comfortable, and I take that time just to think about the day, think about tomorrow, talk to the Lord a little bit. It's not real long, I'm not soaking for hours or anything. I'm just, you know, a 15-minute bath. I come out of it clean, smelling good, but I've also had time to settle my thoughts before I lay my head down to sleep. Find some time whenever you can settle your thoughts. You don't have to be Socrates. This is just some time whenever you're able to reflect. It doesn't have to be more than even 5 minutes. Think about what's going on in your life, and it'll help set that trajectory for tomorrow. Secondly, guard. Guard or keep your heart. Many of you may have heard this verse. I hadn't heard it till I had gone to that training that I'm talking about where I watched those older women. Proverbs 4:23, keep or guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. That word to begin with, some versions say keep, some versions say guard, some say preserve your heart. Have you ever studied castles? Well, in our homeschooling years, I love doing this kind of stuff and digging in and studying about castles. Castles are not palaces. Palaces aren't guarded. Castles are. Matter of fact, that's the whole purpose of a castle. They are a fortress. The whole job is protect, protect, protect. They consist of walls and moats and drawbridges and gatehouses and very strategically placed watchtowers. There are circles of protection within a castle. They'll have several sets of walls and different things to protect. So you come to the center, and the most protected part of that castle is called, does anybody know what it's called? It's a keep. It's called a keep. So if you go to Europe and you get to travel and you get to go see some castles, you'll see the keep. And that's where the lord of the manor lived and his family lived. That was where the precious things were kept, the monies, the jewels, whatever, the armory. It's in the keep. So think of your heart as a keep, and keep your heart. It is a source of all that you do. Tim Keller says this: the heart is the seat of your deepest trusts, commitments, and loves, from which everything flows. Where the heart, where you most love and trust, then your mind will find it reasonable, your emotions will find it desirable, and your will find it doable. It comes from your heart. And your heart is under constant attack. There's the world and all of its shiny objects and distracting things. I have to protect my heart from catalogs of all things. And then, because there's always something that will take my heart that direction. Satan, he's your enemy, and his desire is to derail you from your trajectory. He's aiming for your heart. Anything, any purpose of your heart that honors God, he is going to see that as a target. And then there's just yourself. Your selfish, self-centered desires that turn you inwards rather than outwards. Guarding your heart is knowing yourself and being transparent with God, allowing him to shine the spotlight into that keep, into your heart, so that you can see where the dangers of sin are and that you can keep that heart pure. Keller says that the best way to guard your heart for wisdom is worship, in which the mouth, the mind, the imagination, and even the body are oriented towards God. When you worship on a constant basis, you are bending your life, your heart, towards the Lord. Now, worship is not just what we do on Sunday morning, and our team does a great job